All that don't like worship, you're going to hate heaven. All we're going to do in worship or in heaven is worship. But all right, so here we go. Everybody, close your eyes.
We're scared.
I'm not going to do anything. Just close your eyes. I'm not going to do anything. Good heavens. Close your eyes. I'm glad at least somebody can follow directions. Everybody, just close your eyes. Okay, I will not move off the stool, okay? I just want to try something. So, you have graduated high school and gone to college. You're walking from one class to the next, and somebody stops you. And they say, hey, do you believe in God? What's your answer? All right, don't open your eyes. They say, man, that's great. We're so happy. I say, do you believe in heaven? What's your answer? Awesome. We're so glad for that. Do you believe in the Mother God? So, obviously, everybody in here is like, wait, what are you talking about? As we walk out of the room, Aaron brings up the Mother God and everybody leaves. Like,
we're out. We're
done. So, what we're going to chat on tonight is this wonderful religion that is showing up frequently on college campuses called World Mission Society, Church of God. That's what it's called. It did happen to one of our old youth. As I started doing some investigating, they have started chapters on every single college campus in the DFW area, with one of the largest ones being at UTA. So this isn't like, hey, I see the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses coming down the street, and I duck in my house, lock the doors, and pretend I'm not home to hide from them. This is like, I'm on my way from one class to the next, and they're stopping people and asking questions. So this one's gonna hit close to home, unless I get shut down between now and then. But that's on them. So the background. Here's the founder. In 1918, Un Sung Hung, that's his name, was born in Korea. In 1958, he married Hung Won Sun. Now that's important. In 1964, he got tired of the other religions that he had been following, so he formed a new one. He called it the Un Sung Hung Witness Society. Just a clue, if you name a religion after yourself, it's probably wrong. Just saying. So, just saying. 1978, he had a woman that was kind of a disciple of his, if you will. He publicly rejected the claims of her. Oh, by the way, did I mention she was his spiritual wife? Now, remember, in 1958, he did what? He married somebody else. Yeah, I don't know how that works. If I had a spiritual wife, I think my real wife would kill me. I don't know about all that. But, so her name was Su In, and he believed, to begin with, that she was God the Mother. We'll get there. In 1984, World Mission Society Church of God proclaimed that Un Sung Hung was actually Jesus Christ and his new spiritual wife, because he got rid of the old one, remember? His new spiritual wife is actually God the Mother. The other one was not. Wait. Yeah, wife number three.
Jesus is married.
Yes, the mother. Jesus is married to God, the mother. So in 1985, he died. Not his mom, God the mother. Hey, we do not allow logic in these conversations. So, in 1985, Ahn Sung-hyung, he died. He left the leadership of the church to his spiritual wife, known in the church as the Heavenly Mother, even though he actually never divorced his first one or married the spiritual wives. So I have a picture of his tombstone. Not that you care, except he's in Korea. So I called one of my Korean friends and I said, hey, buddy, what the heck does that say? You know what it says? Here lies the prophet Elijah. So he's Jesus and the prophet Elijah. And he's married to God the Mother. No, that's the website that I got it from. That's not on the thing. So in 1997, they decided it's probably not the best thing in the entire world to have a religion named after a dude who's dead. So they changed it to the World Mission Society Church of God. So moving into our typical conversation, what is the Bible? What is it that they believe? Of what? The picture? That one right there? It was there at the beginning. So, they believe our Bible. Simple and easy. Same as our Bible. This is not a whole different translation. This is literally pick up any translation off the floor or out of a bookstore and they believe it. But, along with this book, the evidence book, and the writings of Christ, Ahn Sung-hyung, the prophet Elijah. Now, in his books, primarily the first one, which is The Mystery of God and the Spring of the Water of Life, you'll see that on the screen more in a little bit, he quotes the Bible frequently, except he misquotes it every single time. You'll see that as we get along down the road too. So my question then is this, if Jesus Christ really came back, let's just say for just a second that he's right. He really is kind of this reincarnation of Jesus Christ. Would he really misquote his own Bible? Like, this is the same guy that walked through the Old Testament in our book and quoted the Old Testament from memory like this with no issues. But somehow the new Jesus can't even misquote or can't even quote his own book right. So here we go. Just in line with these things, here's one of the things that's in his book. I'm there. Here we go. So, since the day that the Ten Commandments was received, it took 168 days to build the tabernacle and to hold the ceremony. And as fulfillment of this prophecy, Jesus also went into the heavenly most holy on the 10th day of the 7th month in 1844. Which is the Day of Atonement. And since then, he built the heavenly temple for 168 days, namely 168 days until the ceremony. The prophecy is to be interpreted as one day for 1 year, based on these verses. Therefore, adding 168 years to 1844, when Jesus entered the heavenly most holy, 2012 becomes the last day, aka the world's going to end. Case any of y'all are wondering, that didn't happen. Yeah, this is all a figment of your imagination. So we look back, obviously, at our book accordingly. Every word of God proves true. He's a shield to all who come to him for protection. Do not add to his words, or he may rebuke you and expose you as a liar. So their added books, obviously, are untrue. Or this one, We saw this last week. But a prophet who presumes to speak in my name, anything I have not commanded, or a prophet who speaks in the name of other gods is to be put to death. You may say to yourselves, how can we know when a message has not been spoken by the Lord? If what a prophet proclaims in the name of the Lord does not take place or come true, that message the Lord has not spoken. That prophet has spoken presumptuously, so do not be alarmed. So, obviously, our Bible says this dude is a lunatic. So then, who is God? They believe our Bible, don't forget that. So they look at it and they say, the earthly family system has to copy the heavenly family system. This is where they get it from. Dadgummit. Who fixed my slides? So, Hebrews 8:5, they serve in a system of worship that is only a copy, a shadow of the real one in heaven. For when Moses was getting ready to build the tabernacle, God gave him this warning. Be sure that you make everything according to the pattern I have shown you here on this mountain. So according to that scripture, which is referencing the tabernacle, everything must look exactly like it does in heaven. So according to that, because we have a father and a mother and siblings, that must be what's in heaven, a father and a mother and siblings. So therefore, according to that, there must be God the Mother. Now, just in case you're wondering, World Mission Society Church of God has found her. Remember, it's his second wife. Here she is. In the words of our great Emily, God the Mother has an afro. So, again, they read our Bible. They took Hebrews 8:5, talking about the tabernacle. They said it must mean families, so here we go. But they took it a step further. They said we probably need some more evidence because otherwise everybody's going to think we're totally crazy. So they found it. Oh, my goodness. I forgot some of the clear all cues. But the other woman, Sarah, represents the heavenly Jerusalem. She is the free woman, and she is our mother. We have a mother in heaven. It's in the book. Except there's a problem. Yeah, me too. They took it out of context. Here's the whole passage. The scriptures say that Abraham had two sons, one from his slave wife and one from the freeborn wife. The son of the slave wife was born in a human attempt to bring about the fulfillment of God's promise. Remember this? Sarah said, hey, I'm not going to have a kid, so here's my servant. You can go ahead and sleep with her, have a kid. It'll all work out. Okay. Ishmael was the kid's name, yes. These two women serve as an illustration of God's two covenants. Just an illustration, not to be taken verbatim. The first woman, Hagar, who had the son Ishmael, represents Mount Sinai, where people received the law that enslaved them. And now Jerusalem is just like Mount Sinai in Arabia, because she and her children live in slavery to the law. But the other woman, Sarah, again, an illustration, represents, an illustration, the heavenly Jerusalem. She's the free woman, and she's our mother. Anybody ever heard the song? Father Abraham. Yeah. Yeah, we're going to see. So, God tells Abraham, I make you a promise. I'm going to make you the father of many nations. Your descendants will be more than the stars in the sky and the sands on the earth. We're all descendants of Abraham. Yes, he's our father. Hey, wait. Oh, yeah, Sarah, I guess, would be our mother. Not some heavenly figure that actually lives on earth. They found more, okay? Then just two doesn't work. They needed more, so they found it. Here we go. Again, our Bible. And then God said, let us. It says us. That must mean more than one, right? Let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They'll reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. So us must be God the Father and God the Mother. That's why we got male and female, right? Oh, us is the Trinity. Maybe that's why it says in 27, God created human beings in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. So, is God seriously not all-powerful enough to the point where He can't say, I'm going to create male and female without a mother figure? And have a belly button. So, this is where it gets really interesting. This is where it's fun. So, remember, Unsung Young wrote books. They're holy writings, except the last one. That one's rejected. It's called Problems with the New Jerusalem, the Bride, and Women's Veils. In that book, he wrote, I do not believe that there was such thing as a mother God. I believe that the New Jerusalem is a place, not a person. Yeah, they reject that book. It wasn't actually him writing it. Somebody else wrote it and put his name on it. That's what they say. So, who is Jesus? Obviously, Christ Unsung Young. That's what they call him, Christ Unsung Young. That's his name. In their book, they write, telling you, my tech guy that made this slideshow is failing me. So, off their website, therefore, Unsung Young is Christ, who came in this age according to all the prophecy of the Bible. He restored the truth of the Passover, the tree of life, and saved us from all our sin and death. He is our God. Our Bible says, we're sure of this, because Christ was raised from the dead and He will never die again. Death no longer has any power over Him. Anybody remember what happened in 1985? He died. So they read a book that says Christ died once, He'll never die again, yet our Christ has died twice. Yeah, she's still alive. I don't know. I didn't look that up. I didn't tell you this either, but she was married. She was married before him, too. They're just spiritual. Yeah, she's gone. She has another husband that she has pushed off to the side that she ignores now because she's now Mother God. So she doesn't need a husband other than the spiritual husband that she has in Christ. That's dead. Yeah, I didn't make this up. So, yeah. Oh, they believe it. So, here we go again. Here's our Bible again. Then, if anyone tells you, "Look, here is the Messiah," or "There he is," don't believe it. Okay. For false messiahs and false prophets will rise up and perform great signs and wonders so as to deceive, if possible, even God's chosen ones. Mind you, I did not find any record of him doing anything great, signs, or wonders. He just said, I'm Jesus, and people went, okay. So verse 25, see, I have warned you about this ahead of time. So if someone tells you, look, the Messiah is out in the desert, don't bother going to look. Or look, he's hiding here, don't believe it. For as the lightning flashes in the east and shines to the west, so it will be when the Son of Man comes. So it's talking about the second coming of Christ, saying it is going to be a giant deal. Okay, lightning flashes east, shines to the west. Everybody's going to know. Okay, again, another one. Go. Revelation 19, again, second coming. Then I saw heaven opened, and a white horse was standing there. Its rider was named Faithful and True, for he judges fairly and wages a righteous war. His eyes were like flames of fire, and on his head were many crowns. A name was written on him that no one understood except himself. He wore a robe dipped in blood, and his title was the Word of God. The armies of heaven, dressed in the finest of pure white linen, followed him on white horses. From his mouth came a sharp sword to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron rod. He will release the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty, like juice flowing from a winepress. On his robe at his thigh was written this title, King of all kings and Lord of all lords. That's what that describes. So Jesus' second coming came back as this guy. And instead of coming like the lightning or like the rider on a horse with fire out his eyes and a tongue out his mouth and a tattoo on his thigh, he's a glasses-wearing Asian dude. I'm just saying. So here we go. Heaven and hell. Heaven. We are all fallen angels. They were kicked out of heaven for betraying God. They don't actually specifically teach that we're trying to work our way back into heaven. But don't you feel like you'd be kind of wanting to work that way? Like if you got kicked out of heaven for betraying God, don't you feel like you'd want to fix that? So they use this guilt as leverage to get people to comply with their demands, spend all their time studying, recruiting, partaking in ceremonial observances of the law, paying tithes, and giving offerings. By the way, just in case you're wondering, there's no mention of hell anywhere on their website or their writings at all. Right. But like their evidence book that clarifies the Bible says nothing about hell that I could find. I did not read the whole thing, so it might be in there, just not in the stuff I read and saw. So it's possible, but no. Sin and salvation. Try not to laugh. Let me clear this. Here we go. Claim number one. They claim that the name of Jesus has expired in this new age. And the name of Ahn Sung Hung is the only one through which salvation is found in these last days. No, that's his last name. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And a middle name. Yeah, his first name's Christ. Yeah, first name Jesus, middle name Christ. So yeah, the name Jesus expired. Mind you, I just want you to be aware that from the time of like Abraham to the time of Jesus, the name Jesus still worked. But somehow after that, it didn't work anymore. So here's our Bible, Acts 4, 11 and 12. For Jesus is the one referred to in the scriptures. That name's expired, don't worry. Where it says, the stone that you builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. That doesn't look like a name that's going to expire to me. Number two, in WMSCOG, practicing the correct rituals is essential to gain salvation. It's also important to surrender practices common in traditional Christian churches that are in fact the result of pagan contamination. These include using the cross as a Christian symbol. Ethan, come take my cross down. Placing statues in churches as an object of honor and celebrating Christmas. Because since it wasn't actually the day Jesus was born on, then it, you know, must not be true. No. No, you can't. No, you will be excommunicated. Kicked out. Done. Here's our Bible. Yet we know that a person is made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ, not by obeying the law. And we have believed in Christ Jesus so that we might be made right with God because of our faith in Christ, not because we've obeyed the law. For no one will ever be made right with God by obeying the law. So it doesn't matter how well you do the rituals or don't do the bad stuff. Still not going to get you there. The next one. Baptism is the first step toward receiving God's favor, through which we receive the forgiveness of sins. And note the quotes, okay? That's right off their website. And it is needed to be saved. WMSOG administers it in the name of God the Father, Jesus, and Christ Ahn Sung Hung. Notice no mention of the mother. No. No. Jesus, we'll get there in a minute, but Jesus had his place. He was the Messiah. He came back as Christ on Sung Hung. So they're technically the same person. Oh, you picked up on that one. He is not the Holy Spirit. God the Mother is the only one that speaks to our daily lives. Holy Spirit concept, but not the Holy Spirit. No. They believe our Bible. No Holy Spirit. Touche. So here we go. Acts 2:41. Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to that church that day. What order did that happen in? Belief and then baptism. So it's not a step to get favor. It's not essential in salvation. It's an act of obedience. Like, it's really hard to walk in a church and get baptized and not have anybody know that you got saved. Here we go. One of the core beliefs is the centrality, the importance of Passover. The truth of Passover, according to WMS COG, was restored by Christ on Sung Hung. Even today, if we celebrate Passover correctly, disasters will pass over us. No one can be saved without keeping the Passover at the specific date and time mandated in the Bible. So here we go. Again, evidence book. Remember, this is the add-on to the Bible. Although the people of Judah seemed like they were observing God's laws, they neither realized the Passover, the greatest commandment in the law, nor kept it. That's their book. You know, our book says, Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." Two different greatest commandments. Okay. Interesting. So, on top of that, because that's not enough, it's also important to keep all seven biblical feasts from the Old Testament. WMSOG is also Sabbatarian. That's a really big word that says they believe that those Christian churches that moved the day of the Lord from Saturday to Sunday is unbiblical and the mark of the beast. So here we go, Galatians 4:9-11. So now that you know God, or should I say now that God knows you, why do you want to go back again and become slaves once more to the weak and useless spiritual principles of this world? You're trying to earn favor with God by observing certain days or months or seasons or years. Colossians 2:16-17. Don't let anyone condemn you for what you eat or drink, or for food not celebrating certain holy days or new moon ceremonies or Sabbaths. For these rules are only shadows of the reality yet to come. And Christ himself is that reality. So, the fact that we're at church on Sundays means we're all going to hell. We have the mark of the beast, we're all doomed. If you don't come, you're definitely going to hell. Straight up. So, celebrate Passover, celebrate the other seven biblical feasts, and make sure you go to church on the right day. Now, mind you, what's really interesting is they get so particular about how Passover's got to happen, but they let the Sabbath one go. See, biblically, the Sabbath starts at sundown on Friday and ends sundown on Saturday in the Old Testament. You know when their Sabbath starts? 12:01 a.m. Saturday morning. So they're really strict on the Bible on this part, but not on these things. It's okay. So here's where it gets real fun. WMSCOG teaches Jesus had to go back to heaven. I don't know when he left, but he had to go back, okay? He had to go back to heaven to keep asking for our sins to be forgiven, and Heavenly Mother is continually, and I quote, being sacrificed on Tuesdays and Saturdays to purify her children from sin. Don't believe me? Fine. Wait a minute. Here we go. The mystery of God and the spring of the water of life. Remember, on Sung Young's number one book, Jesus entered the most holy place in heaven for the second time on October 22nd, 1844. Now, mind you, from AD 33 until this date, I have no idea where he was or what he was doing with the Mormons. Okay, got it. Troy, thank you for clearing that up for us. So he went back to heaven the second time to continuously pray for our forgiveness. Our Bible, which they believe too. With his own blood, not the blood of goats and calves, he entered the most holy place once for all time and secured our redemption forever. Here we go. Mother's Love. This is another one of his books. I think this was written to his second spiritual wife, but I don't know that for sure. All the sacrifices in the Old Testament represent our Father who was sacrificed as an offering for sin about 2,000 years ago. Represent our Father, Jesus. And also our Mother who is sacrificing herself to seek and save the children with devotional love for them in this age. God has given his children the regulations of third day worship and seventh day Sabbath from Old Testament times. Through such regulations, Mother has purified our souls by sacrificing herself so that we may not be cut off from the community of God. I have no idea what she's doing to sacrifice herself. It didn't say anywhere, but she's sacrificing herself. Just so you. Yeah, I think it'd be Tuesday. So Tuesday and Saturday. I saw nothing about them going to church on Tuesday. Just saying. So here we go. Here's our book. For God's will was for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all time. Under the old covenant, the priest stands and ministers before the altar day after day, offering the same sacrifices again and again, which can never take away sins. But our high priest offered himself to God as a single sacrifice for sins, good for all time. Then he sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand. Mind you, he left, remember? He had to come back in 1844, so he had to leave at some point. So there he waits. There he waits until his enemies are humbled and made a footstool under his feet. For by that one offering, he forever made perfect those who are being made holy. So we have the Bible that they believe that says Jesus' sacrifice on the cross was perfect one time. It finished everything. Done. Their thought? A, he went up to heaven, somehow he left or something, came back in 1844, the Day of Atonement, and he's sitting there praying and begging that God would forgive our sins. And that's not enough either, just in case you're wondering. Heavenly Mother has to sacrifice herself too. Twice a week. For our sins. Every week. I don't get it. I talked to a guy about this on the phone, and he was, so basically, it works out like this. He really wanted to argue. I had a good time arguing with him, let's just be honest. I had fun. Every single thing that he gave me to try and prove his point looked exactly like this. It was a verse that they had said, hey, here's a woman, here's a mother, here's a reason why God the Mother exists. And while he's sitting there babbling, I'm sitting there reading the verses around it going, what? And here's what he kept telling me. He was like, obviously, You're just not at a place where God has made you wise enough to understand the Bible fully. But if you would like to have a Bible study with us, you'll understand. I was like, I read the Bible, it says you're full of it. I don't need a Bible study to understand that. It's in black and white. But that was the whole thing. I mean, everyone, there's a couple of verses in Revelation where it talks about the new Jerusalem is going to be the bride. They're like, see, there's a bride. Got to be God the mother. I'm like, so the bride of Christ is God the mother, his mom. I guess that looks like some heavenly or earthly families, but not normal ones. But again, as you look further down in that passage, you find out that the New Jerusalem, the bride, is actually the church. But he didn't want to hear that. He didn't want to listen to it. He was informing me, and I started doing some research. They strongly encourage you not to pursue a career, not to go to college, because those things are not important. You're supposed to dedicate yourselves to the religion, the festivals, the feasts, the rituals, and give them money. Like I told Troy, logic is not allowed here. No. Yeah, I was talking to somebody at TCC, and I was like, do you go to school there? I can meet you another day. Like, no, I don't believe in going to school. I was like, why are you on campus? Somebody should call security. Like, what's going on? Now, here's what I also found very interesting. I'm not very smart, okay? Y'all know that. But if I'm a cult and I want money, I don't think I'm going after college kids. Oh, it's definitely a cool. Oh, yeah. Except the difference, it's totally David Koresh and Jim Jones with one difference. At this point, last I figured, they're at about 1.5 million members, not like 60. They literally have churches in 150 countries. But I didn't tell you all this in the notes. It wasn't there, but just because we're, you know, talking. In case you're all wondering, Israel is not the promised land. It's actually Korea. South.
Oh, okay.
At least I got the good one, right? Yeah. Just so you're wondering. So all the Israel talk in the Bible, it's actually Korea. God the Mother actually won't die. She will just ascend into heaven like Jesus did. The first time. Now, the second time he died from a heart attack, but the first time he just ascended into heaven. No, she is the second one. Remember the first one? They should have thought this. Look, the guy that names the religion after himself probably wasn't thinking, in 60 years, this is going to sound really stupid. Think about it, okay? Did God name a religion after himself?
Nope.
What religion do we believe in? Who gave us that name? We did. The word Christian is in the New Testament 3 times. 2 of those times, it's bad. Like they're literally making fun of them. We coined the term Christianity as followers of Christ. It's not something that he came down. In the Old Testament, in Exodus, he did not stand there and go, Abraham, I'm going to give you a religion, and we're going to call it Christianity. He'd be like, what the hell are you talking about? What is Christianity? Jesus Christ is going to come, okay, and we're going to name it after him. That didn't happen. Like, literally, this is totally crazy. But a lot of this stuff, if you don't know what's in the Word, when they tell you this, it's going to make sense. I mean, if you look at this passage and they say, look, she is our mother. It's like, actually, that kind of makes sense. I mean, everything that he gave me made sense with what he gave me. It just didn't make sense with the rest of the book. Yeah. Yeah, well, she is the kind of reincarnation of Sarah, who actually was the first incarnation of God the Mother. So it's like a cycle thing. Magdalene? It's not really I guess maybe it is a religion, but it's just a cult following. Spaghetti heads. So, like we say every week, everything you do in life depends on what you do with Jesus. Either he's a nice-looking Korean man who died the second time as Jesus, has two wives, both outside of marriage, while being married to another one, has the prophet Elijah written on his tombstone, or he's Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who ascended into heaven one time, died on the cross one time for the payment of sins, and it's done. It's easy to sit in this room looking at these crazy religions that believe the crazy things, because I'm able to present both pieces to you right here. But when you're walking down the sidewalk on the college campus and they say, do you know about God the Mother? And you're like, wait, what? If you don't know what it is that you believe, you're very easily duped. Where'd the passage go? Here it is. False messiahs and false prophets, verse 24, will rise up and perform great signs and wonders so as to deceive, if possible, even God's chosen ones. So don't think you're above the point of being deceived. Because it happens all the time. Like, I'd be willing to bet in the case of Jim Jones and David Koresh, there were probably some pretty decent pew-sitting people that wound up caught up in that mess. So, now that we have figured out who God the Mother is, and we all love her and appreciate her afro, you are dismissed to go to small groups and continue discussing her for the rest of the night. What?